kisses her cheek. "Don't get all emotional," Chip says and turns back to the steaks. "This is a good thing." "It's a really good thing," she says and clears her throat. "Camden, can you please help me in the kitchen? I want to bring out the rest of dinner."
"Or you want to talk about Mia behind your back," I reply, but stand to follow her inside. She slaps my arm harder than usual.
"Stop it," she says. "I am not going to talk about Mia behind her back."
"It's okay," Mia says, laughing. "I'd do the same thing with my brother."
I wink at her as I walk past, and as soon as we're in her kitchen with the door closed, Steph wraps her arms around me and hugs me tightly.
"I'm so happy that you're in love and that you're actually telling her that you love her."
"Thanks," I pat her back. "This is an extreme reaction to this, you know."
"No, it's not. I'm your big sister, and I raised your cranky teenage ass, so I get to have this moment with you. You've waited a long time to have this in your life, and I'm just so fucking happy for you."
"Thank you." I stand patiently and let her hug it out, and when she steps back, I brush a tear off her face. "Are you okay?"
"Oh, yeah," she says and wipes her eyes. "I wasn't expecting to hear you say it, almost casually like that."
"I've had a week to get used to it," I reply.
"You've been saying it to each other for a whole week?"
I nod.
"And you didn't tell me?"
"What did you want me to do? Call you as soon as I said it to her to fill you in?"
"A text would have been sufficient," she says with a sniff. "I need to know these things."
"And now you know. What do we need to take outside?" She loads me up with a platter of baked potatoes and a big bowl of salad, and once she has all of the condiments, we make our way back outside to set the table. "Two steaks are done," Chip says. "Who ordered medium rare?" Mia and I both raise our hands.
"I can't eat blood," Steph says, wrinkling her nose. "Chip and I are medium well people."
"Everyone is different," Mia says, and takes a seat next to me.
"Did she gush over you?"
"Yeah, it was embarrassing."
"There, there," Mia says, patting my back. "She loves you."
I nod and get to work dressing my baked potato. "I know." Dinner is delicious, and we end up spending most of the evening out on the patio, enjoying the cool evening and conversation. It's late by the time we head back to the hotel.
"We could have driven back to Portland tonight," Mia says once we're in the hotel room. "It's not a bad drive."
"There's no need to rush," I reply, and sit next to her on the sofa in the sitting area of our suite. "What did you think?"
"I think your sister and Chip are super nice people. Dinner was good. I'm glad we came."
She smiles at me.
"What did you think?"
"That I shared you for long enough with others tonight," I reply, and hug her close to me. "I'm glad you enjoyed it. They're important to me."
"I get it," she says with a sigh. "I have a tight family, too. I'm so sleepy."
"Go ahead and sleep, sweetheart." I kiss her head and feel her getting heavier against me as she gets more tired. "I'll carry you to bed."
"I don't want to break you,"
I frown. I know that she doesn't mean to talk badly about herself, but I don't like it when she implies that she's too big. She's not. She's beautiful. I'll spend tomorrow morning showing her just how amazing I think she is. "Are you ready to head home?" I ask her the following morning after checking out of the hotel.
"No."
She smiles over at me and shrugs.
"I thought I was last night, but I'm not. I'd like to spend some time with just you. Let's do something spontaneous."
"Like fly to Paris?" I ask, and she immediately laughs.
"Not that spontaneous. I haven't been over to the coast in years."
"Then the coast is where we will go." I wiggle my eyebrows and reach for my phone. We're sitting in my car, but haven't driven off yet. I Google luxurious hotels on the Oregon coast and call the first listing. Once arrangements are made, I grin at Mia. "We have an ocean view room waiting for us."
"That was easy."
She settles back against the leather seat and turns on the seat warmer.
"I could get used to having you handy to take care of things for me."
"Good." I take her hand in mine and kiss her knuckles. "I like doing things for you."
The drive to Cannon Beach takes a few hours, not including the extra half hour we took to swing by Mia's to grab fresh clothing on our way through Portland. By the time we arrive, it's time to check into the hotel, and we are not disappointed. "They labeled this correctly," Mia says. "It's definitely luxurious." It's a beautiful boutique hotel right on the ocean with steps down to the sand. The big haystack rock is just a couple hundred yards down the beach. It's a nice afternoon. It never gets too hot here, and the sun is tucked behind billowy clouds, making it perfect for beach walking. "Let's check in and then head down to the beach," Mia says, mirroring my thoughts. The check-in process is quick. I'm pleased to see that they offer milk, coffee, and cookies 24 hours a day, and a gourmet breakfast is included in the morning. Our room is spacious, with a balcony that we can sit on and watch the sunset tonight. "This is swanky," Mia says from inside the bathroom. "The tub is bigger than my entire bathroom at home." "We'll take a dip in it later," I reply, and step out onto the deck. With lounge chairs built for two, I can see us sitting out here and never wanting to go home. "I love the sound of the ocean," Mia says as she joins me. She takes a deep breath and rests her head on my bicep. "It's just so beautiful." "Are you ready to go for a walk?" "Absolutely. I'm leaving my shoes here." She kicks out of her sandals and we walk around the building and onto the vast beach below. The water is gray-blue and frothy white with waves. "It's not calm today."
"No, it's lovely."
She smiles up at me, takes my hand, and leads me down to the waterline, where our feet can get wet as we walk toward Haystack Rock.
"This is a nice surprise. Do you do things like this often?" I ask.
"Not nearly as often as I would like," she admits. "My family used to own a cabin out here, but we used it less and less, so my parents sold it about 5 years ago. Real estate here is crazy, so they made a nice profit on it."
"Would you like to have another place here again one day?"
She frowns, considering it.
"Maybe.
This is my favorite beach on the Oregon coast. I mean, look at this view."
"It's stunning."
She glances up to find me looking at her and blushes.
"I meant the ocean, not me."
"I know what you meant."
"You say some sweet things."
"I mean them," I reply.
"You know how I feel about you."
"It's kind of crazy, isn't it?"
"How do you mean?"
"I don't know. I was just thinking on our way here that it's funny how fate works. Or destiny, or whatever you want to call it. Chance, karma."
She steps around a crab trying to walk its way back to the ocean.
"I don't mean to keep bringing up our past. It's in the past, and there's no need to live there. We aren't the same people, and we're in a great place now."
"Agreed."
"I guess I just have one more question, and then I'm going to stop talking about it."
"What do you want to know, Mia?"
She stops walking and looks out at the ocean for a long moment. The wind is blowing like crazy, and she tucks her hair behind her ear. "I came here, to the cabin."
"After you left?"
She nods. "I stopped at my parents' house and asked them for the keys. They looked worried, but my dad talked Mom into giving me the keys and just letting me be. They knew I was healthy and that I'd be safe at the cabin. They asked for an explanation when I got home, but I just gave them the barest details. I came here and I walked this beach and I thought about what I'd done, the way I'd left. I was convinced that it was the right thing to do, even though I know now that it wasn't."
"We've already talked about that," I reply.
"I know."
She turns to me now.
"But I never asked you why you didn't come to find me. After you saw that I was gone, why didn't you come after me?"
I sigh and push my fingers through my hair. "Do you remember what you wrote in that letter?"
She frowns. "I said that you were free to find someone you really loved."
"You said that we could find someone we truly loved to spend our lives with."
I drag my fingertips down her cheek. I don't know if you worded it that way on purpose as a bit of a dig, but it stung.
"So I guess the answer is the same reason that you left, thinking that you didn't love me and we weren't in a real relationship, is the same reason I didn't try to find you."
I kiss her forehead and pull her to me for a hug.
"I don't like the thought of you walking this beach by yourself with a broken heart."
"It wasn't quite that dramatic," she murmurs, then laughs. "Actually, yeah, it was. I was 20, and I was heartbroken. But now I'm 30, and I'm standing here on my favorite beach with the man I've loved since I was a girl. I'm no poet, but I think that's pretty fucking romantic.
I laugh and lead her farther down the beach. I agree. It's pretty fucking romantic. The tide is out. Let's go look around Haystack Rock to see what it brought in. She nods, and we spend the next hour carefully walking around rocks, pointing out ocean creatures. There are plenty more crabs and sea stars. Finally, we walk back to the hotel and order room service so we can sit out on the deck to watch the sunset. Hello, the server says when the food is delivered. I have dinner for two, and I brought up a complimentary pair of binoculars as well. The whales have been very active in the evenings.
Awesome! Mia exclaims and takes the binoculars.
She hurries out onto the deck to look for whales while I wait for the server to set up dinner. When he leaves, I join her. See anything?
Not yet, she murmurs. But you can bet your sweet ass I'll be sitting out here until dark, just in case.
That's the plan. I smile when she turns around and sees the table set up on the deck. You were too busy searching for Moby Dick to care that he was setting this up.
It's fantastic.
She raises her lips for a kiss, and I oblige.
I've been craving a crab Caesar salad.
I'm sure it's incredibly fresh. She takes a bite and nods happily.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. Here, have a bite.
She holds a bite up to my lips. Delicious.
What's under there?
She points to a dish still covered.
Dessert.
What is it? A surprise. I smirk when her eyes narrow. You're not terribly patient, are you?
No.
She laughs and continues eating her salad.
I can admit that I'm not patient. I hate surprises. I hate Christmas because my mom would wrap gifts weeks in advance. Our tree always went up Thanksgiving weekend, and the gifts would sit there for a month. It drove me nuts.
This isn't a Christmas present, I remind her. It's dessert.
And I'm just about finished with my entree, she says with an innocent smile.
I'm not. She narrows her eyes again, making me laugh. I actually am just about finished, but I take my time with the last few bites, enjoying the way she squirms in her chair. Now I'm looking forward to Christmas.
Give me the sugar and no one gets hurt.
Threats. I cluck my tongue. That's not very ladylike. She raises a brow and waits as I keep my eyes on hers and raise the lid on the dessert.
Cheesecake,
she whispers. Strawberry. She looks up at me.
You got two pieces.
I can't expect you to share it. I mean, we just exerted ourselves on our beach walk. You need the calories.
You know that I love you, right? Because I do.
I know. I smile and hold a bite up to her lips. I got the memo.
Mmm.
She licks her lips and takes the fork from me.
Thank you.
Something behind her catches my eye. Shit, look. Just as she turns around, a whale breaches the water and falls back in, making a spectacular splash. Then, 5 seconds later, another smaller one does the same.
Oh, she has a baby!
Mia cries, completely forgetting about the cake. I cover it back up as she reaches for the binoculars and races to the railing.
Oh my God, this is incredible. Look!
She offers me the binoculars, but I shake my head. I can see them. They're gorgeous.
I count 4 whales right now, she says.
The only time I've heard this much excitement in your voice is when you pick vegetables in your garden or pull a fresh pie from your oven, I say, and brush her hair to the side so I can kiss her neck. You love this.
Who wouldn't love this? She asks. Do you know how many people go their whole lives without seeing a whale even once?
Do you? I ask with a laugh.
Okay, so I don't have exact statistics, but it's a lot. This is incredible, Camden.
She needs a place here. I'll put that into motion next week. That'll be her Christmas gift this year. She deserves it.
There are 2 babies, she says. Oh my God, this is fantastic.
You're fantastic. I whisper in her ear. Suddenly, she spins around and wraps her arms around me, holding on tightly. What is it?
Thank you, she says, and turns her big blue eyes up to me. Thank you for this. I tip my head down to kiss her lips. This is entirely my pleasure, sweetheart. Watch your whales. She kisses me again and turns back to watch the show in the water, and I know that I will never spend another day in my life without her. She's mine.
Chapter 17. Mia. I'm sure it's just a bug, I say to the doctor as she takes notes. We arrived home from the beach last night, and I think it's probably just something I ate, or maybe even the flu. How long have you been feeling like this? She asks, not looking up from her computer. Off and on for about a week, I guess, but it comes and goes. And when was your last period? I think back and can't remember, so I reach for my phone. Let me check. It would have been about 8 weeks since my last period. I frown. But I do remember that I had a spotty period last month. Not a full period? No, but I'm under a ton of stress right now, and that usually makes my period weird. I shrug. Stress can definitely do that, she says with a smile. It can even make you feel queasy. Yeah, I figured. But I thought I should come in, just in case. She nods and finishes typing, then asks me to sit on the table with paper covering it. Go ahead and lie down. She pushes her fingers into my stomach, then listens to my heart. Sit up, please. More poking and prodding, and looking up my nose and into my ears. You seem pretty healthy, she says. I know I say this every time I see you, but you could benefit from losing 50 pounds. Yes, but that's not why I'm here today. As your doctor, I need to remind you of that. I roll my eyes behind her back and wait for her to tell me to go home and rest. But instead she hands me my slip and points down the hall. Take this and drop it off at the lab. Go ahead and leave a urine sample for me, and they'll draw some blood and send you back here. This seems excessive for it being something I ate, but I shrug and follow directions. When the phlebotomist is finished poking 43 holes in my arm, I make my way back to my room and sit for at least 20 minutes. I shoot Riley a text. Why is it that every time I go to the doctor she writes obesity as my diagnosis, even if I'm not here for that? Does my weight have anything at all to do with eating bad crab yesterday? I roll my eyes and read about rheumatoid arthritis on the poster opposite from where I'm sitting when Riley texts back. What a bitch. I'm sorry you had bad crab. No one wants bad crabs. Ha ha. I grin and put my phone away as the doctor walks back in with her laptop open and her glasses perched on the end of her nose. Well, we have figured this mystery out. Fantastic. You're pregnant. I blink at her for a moment and then laugh. Right. Oh, gosh, that's funny. Anyway, what's up? You're pregnant, Mia. We'll do an ultrasound to figure out exactly how far along you are, but I would guess between 8 and 10 weeks based on your last period. This can't be right. I shake my head and feel my cheeks flush. I have a history of a false positive pregnancy test. Maybe you should recheck. The blood test was positive, she replies. I take it this isn't a planned pregnancy. No, I swallow hard. No, it's not planned. We always use condoms. Are you sure? I scowl at her. Of course I'm sure. I'm there, aren't I? Well, even if you do use them every time without forgetting, they're only 97% effective. She shrugs. You seem to fall on that 3%.
Lucky me.
My voice is quiet and weak.
I'm going to have my nurse wheel in the ultrasound machine, and we can take a quick look to see how far along you are. Unless you want to call the father so he can see it too.
I stare at her as if she's just birthed a giraffe. He doesn't even know yet. I don't think I'll call him and ask him to meet me here just so I can surprise him with a baby on the screen. She nods and leaves for a moment. Within 10 minutes, I'm in the stirrups with the lights out and have a wand stuck up my vagina. That flutter is a heartbeat, she says, pointing to the screen. It's so little. Just about the size of a grain of sand, she says with a nod. Everything looks good, and I'd estimate you're right at about 10 weeks.
So I pretty much got pregnant as soon as he and I hooked up.
I'm just a regular overachiever.
But I've had periods, I say, confused. I had a regular period and a spotty period. That can happen, she says with a nod. It could be that you ovulated right after that first period, or you just had bleeding and didn't know. I've had patients who had periods their entire pregnancy. It's not unheard of.
Huh. After I'm cleaned up, have checked out, and am in my car, I sit and give myself permission to have a quick little freak-out session. What the fuck? I stare at myself in the mirror. I'm pregnant.
My heartbeat picks up, and my palms are suddenly sweaty. I pull the photo from the ultrasound out of my purse and stare at it.
You're quite the surprise, I whisper.
Should I panic? Should I be upset? I don't even know. At least now I do know that Camden loves me, and that we're doing so great together. But that's also the bad thing. We're just relearning each other and getting used to being together. Now I'm going to throw a baby into the mix? What if he doesn't want kids? What if he doesn't want me? I scowl at myself and shake my head. Don't go there. He just spent a ton of time proving to you that he does want you. Wanting you isn't an issue. Now I'm talking to myself in the third person. Stop that. Just go home and tell him. He's coming up with some new recipes for the show, so you know he's home. Stop at the store and get him a card or, I don't know, a freaking bouquet of flowers or something and tell him that he's going to be a daddy. And pray that he doesn't run away screaming. That thought actually makes me laugh. He's not going to do that. He's a good man. And even if we don't end up together forever, he'll be a great dad. I nod and turn the car on, impressed that I'm so calm about this. Then again, I've been here before. He didn't freak out last time. He married me for crying out loud. I call Camden, using the hands-free option on my car.
Hi, beautiful, he says in greeting, making me smile.
Hi there. How's it going?
Pretty well. I think I have the Italian episode figured out.
Oh, that sounds so good. Can we practice that one tonight?
If you like, he replies. I can hear the smile in his voice. What's up?
Well, I'm on my way home, and I wanted to make sure you're going to be there when I get there.
I should be. I don't have plans to leave.
Great.
Why?
I have something to tell you, but I want to do it in person.
You can just tell me.
I laugh. No, I can't. I want to tell you in person. Who's impatient now? He laughs.
Okay, I can wait.
I have one errand to run, and then I'll be home. And don't worry. Just remember I love you, and everything's fine. I'll see you soon.
I love you too, babe.
He hangs up, and I turn into the Target parking lot. I want to get him a present, but I have no idea what. So I spend 10 minutes on Pinterest trying to find the best way to tell him. I can't decide, so I just go inside and walk through the baby section, getting kind of mushy and excited. I wish I could tell one of the girls and ask them for help, but I'd better tell him first. It's important that I do this the right way. I find a onesie that says, "So the adventure begins," and I think that's pretty perfect. This is definitely going to be an adventure. So I snatch that up along with a card that's blank inside. When I get to the car, I write, "Congratulations, Daddy," inside the card, and put it in a fun gift bag with the onesie. That's pretty good for spur of the moment, if I do think so myself. I feel like the past few days have taken our relationship to a brand new place. The past is finally in the past, and we love each other. I have no qualms at all about telling him about this baby. I wonder what would have happened 10 years ago if I had been pregnant. Would we still be married, or would we have divorced, making us split time with the kiddo? Would we hate each other by now? Because let's be honest, we were so young then, and obviously not great with communication. I don't see how that could have lasted long term. It doesn't matter, I mutter and flip the radio on. The freeway is busy, but moving well, and I'm excited to get home to Camden. I'm not even nervous. Holy fuck! I'm going to have a baby! I do a little happy dance in my seat, just as the guy ahead of me switches lanes. But the person ahead of him is stopped dead, and I don't have time to stop. Loud noise. Airbag in my face. Nothing. It feels like I'm swimming in really thick water. I can't move. Sounds or really slow and far away. I open my eyes, and it's like being hit by a hammer. Loud noises. People bustling around. It smells horrible.
Miss.
Huh?
Don't move.
I glance to my left and see a guy in his 20s looking in at me. He's wearing a hat and suspenders.
We're cutting you out of there.
What's happening?
You rear into the car in front of you, going pretty fast.
I frown and cry out at the pain in my head.
Your car is crushed in. You also got hit from the rear, so we have to cut you out of here.
Shit. The light hurts. Everything hurts. Baby.
Did you have a baby in the car?
No. I lick my lips, unable to open my eyes. The light hurts so badly. Pregnant.
She's pregnant.
He yells to someone. I'm in the water again, fighting to stay awake. But the water is warm, and it doesn't hurt here. I let myself slip back under until there's nothing.
Wake up, Mia.
No. It's loud. I don't want to get up and go to work. I'd rather lie here next to Camden. Maybe we can just have sex all day. That would be fun. But I have a killer headache. Head hurts.
I know, sweetheart. But I need you to wake up. You have a concussion.
I open an eye and I'm thrust into a nightmare. Two men are looking down at me and it feels like I'm speeding in a car. What's happening?
Do you remember me? One of the men asks. You talked to me when you woke up in the car. Do you remember?
Sort of. I wince. My head is killing me.
You hit it pretty good,
he says with a smile.
But it looks like that's the worst of it. Mia, I need you to tell me what day it is.
September something, I frown. My mouth is dry.
September what?
10th? It's Wednesday.
Good girl,
he says and holds a straw to my mouth.
You can have a sip of this. What year is it?
2018.
He nods and looks up at the other guy. How's her BP? High, but not scary.
My parents.
I called your mom, he says. I found your phone and mom was listed as your emergency contact.
Good. I try to swallow, but everything in me hurts. Someone in front of me changed lanes, and the car in front of them was stopped dead. I had no warning.
That's what the guy said who rear-ended you. He's fine. He was able to slam on his brakes.
I try to move my head, but it's strapped to a board. I can't move.
We need you to have some scans done to make sure you don't have a spinal injury,
he says.
But the fact that you're staying awake and talking to me is a very good sign. You scared me when you passed out on me again.
I think I scared me too, I whisper. I'm really tired.
Stay awake, Mia,
the other guy says. You two are ridiculously good looking. They both smile down at me. Is that a requirement to be a firefighter or EMT? That you have to be so hot you can make calendars and bring in a bunch of money in calendar sales?
She found us out.
He presses some gauze to my head and comes away with blood.
You have quite the head wound here. I hope blood doesn't make you queasy.
No choice, I guess. I reply and immediately feel queasy. I'm always nauseated these days.
How far along are you?
He asks, surprising me. I blink at him for a moment and he says,
You said you're pregnant.
Oh, God. I'm pregnant. Around 10 weeks. He nods and exchanges a look with the other guy that isn't encouraging. Am I going to lose it?
I don't know, Mia. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that they'll do everything they can to make sure that you don't.
I nod, tears falling down my cheeks now. Can I call someone?
Who?
Camden, I swallow. I don't know if they'll think to call him right away.
I'll call him.
I nod as he finds Camden's name in my phone and holds it to my ear.
I was wondering where you are.
I don't want you to freak out.
What's happening?
I'm okay.
Mia, tell me what's happening.
I'm in an ambulance. I was in an accident and we're going to the hospital. I can't stop the tears from flowing now. Will you please meet me there?
Oh my God, of course. Which hospital?
I don't know. Which hospital? The EMT takes my phone and talks to Camden, giving him the name of the hospital,
and how far out we are from there, which isn't far. And then he presses the phone back to my ear.
You listen to me, Mia. You're going to be okay. I'm on my way to meet you. I love you, baby.
I love you too, I whisper. I have so much to tell you.
You're going to tell me very soon. You're so brave, my love. Just hang in there, okay?
Okay. He's gone, and I'm left staring at Mr. EMT. Are we almost there?
Yes, ma'am. Just a few more minutes.
I'm really sleepy.
Mia, we don't want you to sleep. You have a head injury.
I can't help it.
Chapter 18. Camden. I hang up the phone and reach for my keys, trying to keep the ball of panic down when Trevor calls. Mia's been in an accident, I say in greeting. I know. I was calling to tell you. We're all on our way to the hospital. Do you want me to swing by and pick you up? No, I'll get there faster on my own. I run down the stairs of the house to my car. Have you heard what her condition is? Just that she's stable and being rushed to Emmanuel Hospital, he replies. We will meet you there. He hangs up and I immediately dial Steph's number. Do you miss me already? She asks when she answers. Where are you? Camden? I thought you were... Never mind. What's happening? Her voice is sober now. I'm on my way to the hospital. Mia's been in a car accident. Oh, God. I'm in Olympia. I can be down there in like an hour and a half. I take a deep breath. Okay. I don't know much now. I spoke with her for a minute when they had her in the ambulance, and she sounded scared, out of it. It's my worst nightmare. I know. I'm on my way. Keep me posted if you find out more. I give her the hospital information and then hang up, just as I'm arriving at the hospital. I find the ER, park, and run inside to find that most everyone has beat me here. Mia's parents are sitting with Landon and Cammy. Riley and Trevor have just walked in ahead of me. Addie, Jake, Kat, and a man that I assume is her husband are sitting nearby. Camden. Addie walks to me and offers me a hug. She's here, but no one is allowed to go back with her yet. They're running scans and such, Landon says, his face grim. She's pretty beat up, but we don't know how badly she's beat up quite yet. The lab and the imaging departments are backed up, so they warned us that it could be a couple of hours before we know something. And they won't let anyone back to at least sit with her? I ask, the anger setting up root in my belly. When I spoke to her, she was terrified. She's unconscious, Cammy replies. Her eyes are red and swollen from crying. We were told that either when she wakes up or they have more information, we can go back with her. I fucking hate waiting, Riley mutters and rubs her hands over her face. Less than an hour later, Steph comes rushing through the doors, her eyes wide and frantic until she finds me. She hugs me and asks how she is. We don't know, I reply, rubbing circles on her back. We haven't been given an update, but she's unconscious. She's going to be okay, Steph says and looks around the room at all of Mia's family and friends. I'm his sister. We assume so, Addie says with a smile. She briefly introduces everyone and then turns back to us. Did you drive all the way from Seattle? I was working in Olympia today, so I only had half as far to drive. You still made good time, Jake replies. We probably don't want to know how fast you were driving. No, Steph replies. You don't. Also, aren't you Jake Knox? This is my husband, Addie says with a smile. It's Jake Knox, I reply. She had a massive crush on you back in the day. Hell, on this day, Steph says and shrugs. I'm happily married too, by the way, but yeah, big fan. Jake grins, and just then the doctor comes through the double doors. She looks tired as she scans the waiting area. Mr. and Mrs. Palazzo? That's us, Mia's parents stand. Landon joins them, and the doctor approaches them. Do you want to go somewhere private to talk? She asks. No, Landon says. Everyone here is family. The doctor nods. I'm Dr. Miller, and I'm Mia's physician today.
Your daughter is very lucky. She was in a car accident, as you know. She rear-ended the car ahead of her at a high speed. The police estimate that she was going at around 45 miles per hour. Jesus, Trevor mutters. Then a man rear-ended her. He wasn't going as fast, which is probably what saved her life. The car crumpled like an accordion, so the first responders had to cut her out of the car. We've done a CT scan and taken several x-rays. It appears that she has one broken rib, some bruising on her chest from the seatbelt, and lacerations on her head where she hit the airbag. She has a concussion, which was concerning because we couldn't get her to stay awake, but she seems to be doing better now. Is she going to be okay? Cammy asks, holding on to Landon's hand for dear life. Steph is standing beside me, also holding on to my hand. Yes, Dr. Miller says with a nod. She's going to be just fine. I think we'll keep her here overnight just so we can watch that concussion, but she's going to make a full recovery. It's going to take about 30 more minutes to get her settled in her room, and then you are all welcome to go in and see her. I would recommend no more than 4 of you at a time, as the room isn't that big. She turns to leave, but then stops short and turns back. I almost forgot. The baby is fine, too. She's going to need to monitor things for a few weeks, but I don't think there will be any trouble. She walks away, and I'm stunned. What baby? Steph asks me. I have no idea, I murmur. My God, is that what she was hurrying home to tell me? I look around and all eyes are on me, but there's nothing that I can say given that I simply don't know. Did she just find out today? Has she known for a while? What are you thinking? Steph asks quietly. I don't know what to think. I just shake my head at the others and sigh, then rub my hands over my face in frustration. I take it he didn't know either, Kat murmurs. I can hear other voices around me, but I've tuned them all out. All I know for sure is the woman I love more than anything is lying in a hospital bed alone, that she's apparently carrying a baby that I didn't know about, and I can't get to her. We're going to go, Addie says, and everyone but Mia's parents, brother, and Cammy nod. Now that we know she's okay, we'll go and come back later this evening or tomorrow morning. Just please keep us posted if anything changes. We will, Landon says. Thanks for being here. I'm hugged and assured that everything is okay as they leave, but I barely feel it. I need to see Mia. I need to ask her a million questions. Not even 10 minutes later, a nurse comes out to escort us back to Mia's room. Stephanie and I lag behind, entering the room last. Mia's parents immediately rush to her and hug her, her mother crying. Oh, Bambina, she says. You scared me. How are you? Do you need anything? Mia searches the room for me, and when her eyes meet mine, they soften. But she doesn't ask for me. Instead, she just starts to talk about the accident. It was stupid. The guy changed lanes to move to a faster-moving one, but I couldn't see that traffic was stopped ahead of him. And that's really all I remember. Her head is wrapped in gauze. Her arm is in a sling, and her white skin matches the sheets on the bed. She's hooked up to dozens of wires and monitors. Her heartbeat is thumping in the room. It was scary, she whispers, and her mother hugs her again. I want to hear about this baby, her father says. Mia's eyes immediately fly to mine again, and she shakes her head. Not now. Were you ever going to tell anyone? Steph asks, her hands on her hips and her face a mask of pure anger. Do you know how horrible it is that Camden found out this way? Stop, I say, holding on to her elbow to keep her from advancing on Mia. This is not the time for this. I know you're hurt, Stephanie continues, and I'm so relieved that you're going to be okay. But Mia, again, after everything you've been through with my brother, you're going to do this to him again? Do what? Cammy asks with a frown. You don't know that she's done anything to your brother. She knows. Steph nods and then shakes her head in disgust. I can't believe that we'd all started to trust you, to think that you've grown up and it would be different this time. Mia glares at Steph for a moment, then turns her gaze to me. You don't get to talk to her like that, I tell my sister. Look at me. No, I want to hear from her. You don't get to hear from me, Mia says. First of all, it's none of your fucking business, and two, don't you think I'd rather tell the father of my child that he's going to be a daddy before I tell anyone else? You're making assumptions, and maybe it's out of fear. I know that car accidents are probably a trigger for you, given how you lost your parents. But you don't get to shame me in front of my family and my boyfriend, Steph. If you'd all get the hell out of here and give Camden and me a moment to ourselves, I can properly tell him that he's going to be a daddy. She's so fucking magnificent when she's fighting. When she's fighting for me and for what's right for us. Landon kisses her forehead, takes Cammy's hand, and leads her out of the room. Their parents do the same, and finally, I look down at Steph and gesture for her to get the fuck out of here. When they're gone, I latch the door closed, but before I can walk to Mia, the doctor bustles in. Oh, I'm happy to see that the family has left you be for a while, she says with a smile. You've had a rough afternoon, and I'd like to keep you as calm as possible. Are you the daddy? She asks, looking at me. He is, Mia replies, but won't look me in the eyes. Well, this monitor here is Mia's heartbeat, and this one is the baby. As you can see, the baby's is much faster than Mama's. I'm still struck dumb. I'm watching everything unfold as if it's a movie, and I'm the outsider. Finally, the doctor leaves, and I once again latch the door closed behind her and turn around to take Mia in. She's even paler, if that's possible. Her dark hair is haloed around her head. Her fingers are fiddling with the blanket in her lap. Finally, her blue eyes meet mine, and she smiles softly. So, I have something to tell you.
Chapter 19. Mia. I'm all ears, Camden says, and leans back against the closed door, his arms crossed over his chest. He's not frowning. He doesn't look mad, but he doesn't look happy either, and that's what scares the fuck out of me. Well, you know that I wasn't feeling like myself for a while, and I went to the doctor today, he nods. I figured I just had a bug or maybe I'd eaten something that didn't agree with me. My doctor drew some blood and took a urine sample, and then surprised the shit out of me when she said I'm going to... I swallow hard. Have a baby. He bites his lip, and I keep talking because I can't read his expression, and I feel like I need to fill the heavy silence in the room, even though I haven't done anything wrong. This isn't how I wanted you to find out, I continue. At first, I was nervous... But then I was looking forward to seeing you. I really need you to tell me how you're feeling about this.
How do you feel about it?
He asks, finally speaking. He uncrosses his arms and tucks his hands in his pockets. But he doesn't come to me. And for the first time in my life, I want someone to touch me so fucking badly that it hurts. I don't know. I admit and hate that I feel on the verge of tears. They gave me some pretty good pain meds that they said wouldn't hurt the baby, so I'm a little jumbled. I feel like I haven't had the chance to fully process it all. I just wanted to make sure that I did it right this time.
Did what right?
Everything. That I told you before I told anyone else. It helped that I actually had it confirmed by a doctor this time, and not just a stick to pee on. He nods. And if I'm not mistaken, the corner of his mouth tips up in what could be the beginning of a smile, and it gives me hope that he's not completely pissed off at me. So, I was excited to get home to see you and give you the news. I don't see this as a bad thing, but then the next thing I knew, I was in an ambulance with a killer headache, and now I'm here in this really uncomfortable bed. Your sister accused me of lying to you again. And you're standing way over there. You might as well be in Florida right now. You're so distant. And that just scares me.
I'm right here,
he says and finally walks to me. He sits at the side of my bed and takes my hand in his, brushing his thumb over my knuckles. He looks over at the baby's heartbeat.
That's the baby.
That's what they tell me. He nods and watches it for a moment, then lets out a long sigh.
Can you scoot over just a smidge?
I oblige him, and he threads his way around the cords attached to me and pulls me into his arms. I can't hold the tears back, and I don't want to. I cry against his chest while he drags his fingers up and down my arm.
You're okay, baby,
he says and plants his lips on my head.
How do you feel?
My head hurts, I reply with a sniff. I'm sore everywhere. I'm afraid that you think I was trying to keep this from you, and you're angry with me.
I'm not angry,
he says and tips my chin up to look at him.
I'm not angry at you.
You haven't been exactly warm and fuzzy.
I know. I'm sorry. Everything's jumbled in my head. Of course I was worried and scared. So fucking scared, Mia. I just finally have you back in my life. I can't lose you again. If anything were to happen to you, I just don't know what I would do. And I admit that today was way too similar to the day we lost Mom and Dad. I just got off the phone with you, and then suddenly you're calling me again, and you're on the way to the hospital. I didn't know how badly you were hurt, and once I got here, we couldn't get back to you. Steph came down from Olympia, where she was working today, to be with me.
Was anyone unkind to you?
I ask, ready to kick some ass. No. Your friends and your parents were fine. They were scared, too. And then the doctor came out to let your family know that you'd be fine, and that the baby would be fine.
Fuck. I whisper and brush a tear off my cheek. Crying only made my head hurt worse, but it was a cleansing cry. I'm sorry you found out like that.
Everyone turned to stare at me, but I didn't know either, so I didn't know what to say.
There was nothing to say, I insist. Jesus, Camden, I just found out not even 30 minutes before I called you to let you know that I was on my way home. It's not like I've carried this secret around with me for weeks, waiting for the perfect moment to tell you or something.
I'm glad,
he admits and kisses my head again.
And I'm so fucking relieved that you're okay, that you're both okay.
I relax against him, enjoying the way his arms feel around me, relieved to be here with him. I can't help but let out a soft chuckle.
What's so funny?
I can only imagine the looks my parents and Landon must have sent you when the doctor said the baby would be okay. I look up to find him smiling down at me.
It was awkward, that's for sure.
I'm sorry, I reply and kiss his chest. I'll fill them in on the specifics. It's crazy because three of us are pregnant at the same time.
Who else?
He asks. Cammie and Riley are both expecting. I smile up at him. It's fun that we'll be doing this at the same time.
Are you happy about it?
He asks. Yeah. I know it's not ideal, but we love each other. I shrug and feel my eyelids getting heavy. We will figure it all out.
We'll get married right away, of course,
he says, and I sit up, immediately wide awake again.
No! Bullshit. You and this baby will have my name. I was going to propose anyway, Mia.
Something softens inside me. You were?
I swear I was.
That's sweet. But I'm still not marrying you until after this baby is born. He narrows his eyes menacingly, and I keep talking. Glare at me all day long, Camden, but I will not bend on this. I'm not going to have people saying that I'm trapping you into marriage.
Your past actions aren't exactly indicative of someone trying to trap me.
I don't care. When we get married, it'll be because we want to, not because of a baby.
For the record, I don't like it. And I don't agree.
I lift my chin stubbornly, and he kisses it.
Fine. We'll wait until after the baby's born. What's that?
Camden asks 3 months later. We're in my doctor's office for an ultrasound, and he's been harassing the ultrasound tech for the past 10 minutes. That's a placenta, she says. She's measuring and marking things. And once in a while when she sweeps past the baby, I can see the fluttering of the heart. It's the appropriate size for how far along you are. I grin at Camden, but he's enthralled with the ultrasound screen.
What's this?
That's your baby's foot, she replies. 5 little toes. Aw, it has toes, I say to Camden.
Of course it does. He points to the screen. What's that?
Stop asking the poor woman what everything is, I say, squeezing his hand. It's okay, she says with a grin. He's excited, and that's a good thing. That's the baby's knee. And in a minute here, I can tell you the sex if you want.
No. Yes. Camden scowls at me. Of course we want to know.
Not today. We have to keep it a secret until the gender reveal party on Saturday.
This is ridiculous, Camden says, shaking his head. Just tell us.
No, I repeat. Cammy's excited because we get to find out the sex of our baby and Riley's baby on the same day. Just let her have this, babe.
Fine. He glances at the tech. Just whisper it to me.
No, I say, laughing my ass off. And stop making me laugh. I have to pee like crazy, and I'd rather not do it here.
20 minutes later, we're in the car with a sealed envelope with the gender of the baby inside.
You didn't ask her when I was peeing, did you?
I wouldn't do that.
He replies as he starts the car and drives toward home.
How do you feel?
Like you already know the sex of the baby and I don't?
You don't know that that's true.
Damn it, Camden.
He grins over at me and kisses my knuckles.
I love you, Mia. You're the most beautiful woman in the world.
I love you, too. I stare at the envelope in my lap. I hate surprises.
He tips his head back and laughs.
You asked for this one, sweetheart.
Saturday, better hurry up and get here.
It'll be here quickly. What do you want for dinner?
McDonald's.
He scrunches up his face.
Ugh, why?
I don't know. I've been craving McDonald's fries for a week now.
Your boyfriend is a celebrity gourmet chef who could make you anything, and you want McDonald's fries?
And some sweet tea, I confirm with a nod. And maybe some chicken nuggets.
I draw a line on the nuggets. I can't have our child consuming that stuff.
He shakes his head and looks over at me in horror.
Are you shitting me right now?
Totally. I want chicken Alfredo for dinner.
Thank God.
This is a lot of pregnant women in the same room, I say to Addie on Saturday afternoon. We decided that the only place that was big enough for everyone was at Addie and Jake's house, since we couldn't shut the restaurant down on a Saturday afternoon. The whole house is decorated in pink and blue with touches of gray. The decorations are really pretty.
Thanks, Addie says with a grin. I hired it out, of course, but they did a great job. In addition to cake, we have sugar cookies decorated to look like baby stuff. They're little works of art.
I think Camden's already eaten three.
I smile at the man in question who's standing across the room talking with Landon, my dad, and Mac.
Are you nervous to find out the sex?
Riley asks as she joins us, sipping on sparkling water in a champagne flute.
No, I'm excited. How about you?
I'm excited too. Trevor thought this was dumb, so I had to hide the envelope from him.
She smiles and rubs her hand over her barely protruding belly.
It's cute that he's excited. Both Trevor and Camden look antsy, Jake says as he joins us, and I don't blame them. This is dumb. Why couldn't they find out at their appointments?
Because this is fun, Addie says, rolling her eyes. If I'd been thinking, we would have done the same thing when I was pregnant with Ella.
You can do it with the next one,
Jake says and kisses his wife, then exchanges an intimate, happy smile with her.
Addie?
She looks over at me and shrugs.
Yeah, I'm knocked up again, but today isn't about me.
Oh my God, this is so amazing. And it's about all of us today, so yes, you will announce it.
Announce what?
Cammy asks from across the room. I level my gaze on Addie and Jake, and finally Addie shrugs and announces to the now quiet room,
We're going to have another baby.
The whooping and hollering and congratulations are loud and enthusiastic.
We're all just a fertile group of people, Landon says with a happy shrug. Atta girl, Blondie.
Finally, after more hugs and laughter, Cammy calls everyone to attention.
Thanks for letting us do this, she says. I know it's hard to wait to find out the sex of your baby. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you didn't let us do this for you when you and Landon found out you're having a girl.
Cammy just shrugs. Like I said, it's hard. So thanks for letting Addie and me throw this party. And thank you to everyone for coming. Since Riley is due first, we're going to let her and Trevor cut their cake first. If the filling is pink, it's a girl. And of course, if it's blue, it's a boy.
We've had all girls in this family so far, Kat says. Do us a solid and let me buy some cute boy things.
Riley and Trevor both hold the cake cutter, as if they're cutting a wedding cake. Suddenly, Riley tears up and just leans against Trevor, who kisses her head. What is it?
Pink, he says and holds up his slice of cake.
We're having a girl.
Camden joins me at our cake as we all applaud and yell out congratulations to Riley and Trevor.
Tell me,
I whisper to Camden, who just grins.
You know, don't you?
We're both about to know in 10 seconds.
Just tell me. You know I hate secrets.
Stop whispering and cut the damn cake,
Landon calls out. We hold the knife and cut into the cake and plate our slice, and I frown, confused.
I don't get it.
I look up at Camden, who just has tears in his eyes.
What's happening? What's wrong?
We have both, I reply and hold up the cake. Every face in the room drops in surprise. Camden's sister exclaims,
Does that mean it's twins?
Holy shit.
I stare up at Camden in horror, but he's still just grinning with that goofy look. And the next thing I know, I'm swept up in his arms and he's whispering in my ear.
One was hiding behind the other before, he says and kisses my cheek. We're having a boy and a girl.
No way.
Way, sweetheart. We got a twofer.
I've never been hugged so much in my life. Over the next 30 minutes, we're shuffled from person to person, and finally, when we've talked to everyone, Camden holds his hand up to get our attention.
Let me tell you what happened, he begins. We went for the ultrasound the other day, and I didn't want to wait to know the sex. So while Mia was in the bathroom, I persuaded the tech to tell me, promising to keep it a secret. But what she told me instead was that it was twins. She refused to tell me what the sexes were of the babies. She said I had to find out with Mia. But she wanted me to be able to explain to you all today that when we had previously gone in for ultrasounds to make sure that everything was still okay after the accident, one of the babies must have been hiding behind the other. I guess it happens sometimes.
He looks down at me and rests his hand on my belly.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you. I just knew it was going to be one hell of a surprise.
You're not kidding.
I rest my hand over his and try to process it all.
Two babies?
Two babies.
Chapter 20. Camden. These babies are trying to kill me, Mia says from the passenger seat of my car. We've had a mild winter, and she's starting to go stir-crazy now that she's in the final month of her pregnancy. Since there hasn't been any snow, I decided it was safe to take a quick trip over to the beach for the weekend. I have a surprise for her. I don't think the babies are homicidal, I remind her, and lay my hand on her round belly. She seemed to get bigger overnight these past few days, not that I dare say that to her. She's also glowing and the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. How do you feel? Maybe we shouldn't have come. I needed to get out of that house, she says with a sigh. Someone won't let me work anymore. You're carrying twins, my love. You can't be on your feet for 10 hours like you used to. You're lucky that the doctor hasn't put you on bed rest. I'm healthy, the babies are healthy, and my blood pressure is normal. I'm fine. How is it going at seduction? She asks, and tucks her hair behind her ear. Is What's-Her-Face still always late? No. I reply. Are you sure you're okay with me taking over your kitchen? Better you than some yehu I don't know. You love the chef you hired, I remind her with a smile. He would have been capable. Are you saying you don't want to do it? Her eyes are wide when they find mine, and I feel like an ass. No, I enjoy being there, and if it means that you're able to relax at home, I'll be there every minute of every day. Well, let's not get crazy, she says, her voice dry. I mean, I still want to see you on a regular basis. But it makes me feel better knowing that you're there. You know how I'd want things to be done, and you'll make sure it happens. You came in 3 times last week. It's not like you'll never be there again. I'm dramatic, she says with a shrug. This whole pregnancy thing has my hormones out of control. And there are 2 of them, which means I'm outnumbered. I love that you consider our children your enemy.
Only where my body is concerned, she says with a sigh. I've lost more weight than I've gained. I mean, I know that I needed to lose some weight, but I don't think you're supposed to do that when you're pregnant. Who told you that you needed to lose weight? She laughs and takes my hand, kissing it. Oh, you're so sweet,